Achievements and events are not confined to the past. Make sure to etch your own path in the pantheon of human history. This has been Black History Month.
The Unruffled Beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch signals it is Wednesday, 8 p.m. and time for So What's Your Story? We are the only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling, right here on listener-sponsored, volunteer-powered 90.1 KPFT Houston. I'm Greg Audell, the Interim Development Director for KPFT, and I am thrilled to be your host for the next hour. Along with our team, co-host Mary Edgerton, Warren Holloman, Hank Rubicek, engineer extraordinaire and social media queen, Nicole Rocherlin, and of course Floyd the Wonder Dog, we celebrate the power of story by placing the spotlight on tellers who guide us along journeys through unfamiliar worlds and through the windows of their souls with personal stories that stretch the boundaries of the human heart and treat us to new perspectives each and every week at 8 p.m. on Wednesday. Our program's founder and producer, Dr. Hank Rubicek, is joining me tonight because, well, I just enjoy working with him. And he has a story of his own that he'll share with us later in the show. Poor, delusional Hank thought that when he bought us all on as co-host that he'd get some off nights. No such luck. We just keep working him week after week after week.
Yeah, I'm actually here because I don't have a life, and this is a good place to be. But I'm actually here because I'm in awe watching the creative brilliance before me. So tell me about your guest.
I am excited to tell you about tonight's guest. Shelby Kibido was born and raised in Louisiana, but he has recovered. And he has long since been claimed as a true Houstonian. When Shelby moved to Houston, he became active in the animal rescue community. As Facebook connections grew, he used it to grow his rescue network internationally. As his network expanded, he realized he had found his passion, and he thrived at it. As longtime listeners of this show know, I so admire people who truly follow their passion. That is where you are going to affect the greatest change for others, and the greatest change for yourself is by following that passion. So I'm going to want to hear about that from him tonight. In 2012, on behalf of the Citizens for Animal Protection, Shelby raised a record $800,000 for the charity. And let me tell you, as a development director, that is amazing. In 2018, he and his husband, Bruce Padilla, plan on shooting the first $1 million animal charity gala in Houston. Not surprisingly, Shelby's career also involves helping animals and people. His company is called Sit, Stay, Walk, Play. And they're a full-service animal companion keepers, which you will have to explain to us at some point this evening. Shelby Kibido, welcome to So What's Your Story?
Well, let me start out by saying that, well, thank you for having me on your show.
I've been looking forward to this.
Really appreciated it. As everybody knows, my whole life revolves around saving animals and doing animal charity and all that. So all these years later, something has just always kept me going on, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in a bit.
Absolutely.
But it's just the point that there are so many homeless animals on the streets of Houston that, you know, I feel like I've got a big loud mouth, and I use it to my full advantage.
Well, I mean, you know, many people, I would say, I don't know, that reside, let's just say randomly, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, use their loud mouth for much less productive reasons.
Absolutely.
I've been looking forward to having you on for so many reasons. It's not only the fact that our entire So What's Your Story staff, particularly Floyd the Wonder Dog, are passionate animal rights advocates.
but also because I think pursuing a passion with gusto is a rare thing these days. And I'm hoping we'll hear through your stories what makes a person go from a whiner, complainer who's sad to see those sad animal commercials to someone who really decides to make a dramatic difference in a cause he believes in. I think that's all too rare these days.
It's really rare, I say, for myself, and there are probably others like me. I own and breed and exhibit very well-bred dogs. So in knowing dogs, my only side of the breeding side, I've thought that with the huge amount of, you know, people saying, you know, you really need to do things with homeless animals, I started doing things for my own breed. What I was producing, that's what I was taking care of.
So was it because you felt somewhat of a responsibility?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, what was your career before you became so involved in animals?
I was an entertainer. I traveled around the world entertaining people until I met Bruce. And then it kind of drew me here.
How long ago was that?
It was in 1994 that he finally talked me into moving here.
Oh, you're practically a native.
I'm a Texan all the way.
Well, I think we're all curious to hear more about your path to animal rights activist. Would you mind sharing your first story with us?
All right. My first story with animal rescue is, I have so many. I would think the one that was the most memorable rescues for... a wiener dog named Ivan. He came in the shelter and he was about 20 pounds, and they were the owners had suggested that we put him down, and instead of putting him down, I stole him. Took it upon myself. He lost a whole bunch of weight, and he finally became someone's really good companion. So go Ivan.
Go Ivan.
Yeah, Ivan scored.
And so what was it? You know, what was it that sparked that passion? Was there one incident?
Pretty much all the incidents that we deal with on the rescue side, people are just wanting to dump their animal and just walk away and not notice anything, not holding themselves responsible, just breeding and breeding and breeding with everything, and having Dalmatians and Cocker Spaniels and being the person that I am. It just hit me one day when, a very long time ago, when I met two Dalmatians that were in need of a home, and I went through the whole adoption process. And to be honest, it was such a red tape issue that I decided that I was going to buy dogs to show. So I bought two Dalmatians and two Cocker Spaniels. And I've had a pretty good run at the show. When the dogs get a little more than I can handle, I hand them off to a handler. And then it just goes from there. People get angry and say that you can't do both, but I'm living proof that I do both. And I have no problem defending myself in being who I am.
Do you think you need to defend yourself?
I do. Yeah. On a daily basis, Greg.
Wow. Wow.
On a daily basis.
So one foot's in the show world, one foot in the rescue world, and not too many people cross those?
I think I'm the only one that crosses that line, and kind of just because I have no filter, and it's not about me, it's not about you, it's not about anyone. It's about the dog or the cat, horse, goat, pig, raccoon, whatever it is.
Can you tell us a story about how you set the goal of $800,000 and how you achieved it?
Sure. We were asked by CAP.
What does CAP stand for?
Citizens for Animal Protection.
Okay.
It's my home away from home.
Okay.
We were asked to do a gala, just one of their every year gala. It's called Home for the Holidays. And we said that, Bruce and I said that we would do it if our friends Elizabeth and Laura Stein, mother and daughter team, joined us. Well, we had meetings every week, phone calls nonstop. We were constantly everywhere begging for donations and stuff for the auction. And we just worked our behinds off daily. And it really worked out because, you know, it says we raised $800,000, but we actually raised $807,000.
And you know, when you're in the business of raising money, that $7,000 matters. You want credit for every dollar.
It's so hard won. I do, and people, you know, it's awesome to be one of those, you know, people that can just ask and does things and keeps a right life, and you get paid back. And I have no problem asking anybody for anything.
Well, what's the lesson that you want to share with others about your path?
I guess what I'd like to say is we're all in this together, regardless of if we're walking the middle of the fence or if we're in the shelter every day or if we're out on the streets or if we're, you know, like myself, all of the above plus raising money. Just keep doing it. You know, every life you save is a life you save.
Everyone can do something.
Everybody can do something, you know, share
it. And chances are all of us can do more than we are doing. You know, Hank, you shared a wonderful story on our Facebook page that's gotten a lot of attention. And folks, if you are missing our Facebook page, you need to go to the Facebook page. You need to share it with your friends because that's where we're learning what you want to hear about, what you're enjoying, just like this story. So, well, I don't hate to put you on the spot, really. I kind of enjoy it. But would you mind sharing the story that you shared on our Facebook page, Hank?
Absolutely. I've been practicing it all day. No one ever puts me on the spot. And I appreciate you asking me to do this, Greg, because, you know, this sort of sounds like a political commentary, but it's not. It's totally inadvertent. But I came across a story about a dog that crossed paths with an injured cat on the corner of a busy street. The cat was terrified of the dog, a much larger animal. But she was too injured to try to get away. People gathered, wondering if it would end in battle. The dog barked and whimpered and wondered why no one was helping this poor cat. But the people just stood there, waiting for what they thought for sure would be a violent end to the cat. Finally, the large pit bull mix came closer to the cat and gently licked her, trying to soothe her. And finally, the stupid animal, the one that I call human, helped the kitty. Well, this is a true story. It's also true that bigotry will destroy us if we allow it to. Trust, faith, and understanding is not a profound formula for kindness. Ignorance is bad, period. Intelligence is something to which we should aspire, not belittle. Listen to our furry friends. Listen to the rawness with which they are so unselfishly involved. It's the same old story, really. But I really appreciate everybody listening. It's a story that reminded me of, unfortunately, everything around us. I hate what's happening in Washington. It's a political statement, and we're talking about dogs. But in this case, they're inextricably connected because we have one genre, which is genuine and loving and real and candid. And we have another, which is the antithesis of everything good.
Amen, Hank. I'm going to make a habit of putting you on the spot more often.
Okay.
Yeah, touche.
Why not?
I like it.
Everyone does.
Touche.
My pleasure.
Well, friends, you're listening to my guest storyteller, Shelby Kibido, on So What's Your Story? On Houston's only radio station that has been serving the progressive community for over 47 years. That's right, 90.1 KPFT Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.9 in Huntsville. I'm your host, Greg Audell, with the one, the only, the lovely, the articulate Nicole Rocherlin at the control board. Nicole, thanks for all your hard work.
And thanks for pronouncing her name correctly. Honest to God.
I practice because I'm scared of her. thanks
and
for
you
all your
be.
Hard work. All your work with our guest storytellers, and thank you to our audience that continues to grow each and every week. And a lot of that is because of the work that Nicole does on our social media page and all the various platforms. I don't even know if I know about all of them. My nieces have been trying to get me on Instagram for years. you know, and would you say that the social media platforms are a big part of what's helping us grow right now, Nicole?
I definitely say that the social media platform is a big aid in the correct direction that we're trying to go. But spreading the word about So What's Your Story and what we are about, and that's storytelling, not from just us or just from our guests, but from everybody in the community. And recently we got our stats and we have jumped up over 300%.
Yes. Thank you. Keep telling your friends, keep writing in. You apparently like what you're hearing. You know, Nicole, some of our friends in the storytelling community have amazing opportunities going on each and every week in this, the most diverse city in the United States. Can you tell us about some of them?
Well, of course, and referencing back to our Facebook page, if you are not on our Facebook page, go there, like us, tell your friends about us. You want to know, we want to keep you in the know.
Why would you not be on our Facebook page? What's the point of Facebook?
Exactly. You can put thoughts of your own stories on there. You can send us messages. We are always open to ideas, and we are community, so it is important to us that we cater to you, the community. But besides that, we have program clips as well on our YouTube channel, So What's Your Story 90.1, of all of our past So What's Your Story programs, and also our favorite sponsor, the Houston Storytellers website at www.houstonstorytellers.org. If you just go to the radio program, click on the link, listen to those stories there, you would enjoy it, I promise you.
And let me tell you, friends, the Houston Storytellers Guild truly are some of the finest storytellers in the state of Texas. It is all ages, all backgrounds, all experiences, and if you want to get comfortable with your public speaking skills, if you want to learn a better way to tell a story, this is the place for you. It is amazing to me that there is not a line down the sidewalk for this resource in Houston.
Hey, well, you know, also, too, if they want to go.
Oh, yes. Where could they go?
They meet on the fourth Tuesday of every month at Temple Emmanuel, located at 1500 Sunset. Also, we don't want to forget our friends at the Mob at Warehouse Live the second Tuesdays of the month as well.
Come on out, friends. I mean, there are so many storytelling opportunities. You know, I suggest, you know, if you want to rest at home, you can go to HoustonStorytellers.org and listen to our past episodes. If you want to get out, you can go to the Houston Storytellers Guild. You can go to the Moth. There is no shortage of opportunities for you to hear great stories in Houston, Texas. So, Hank, what about you? Do you know of any cool events coming up?
Well, I do. And before I say that, I just want you to know that ever since we've been meeting at Temple Emmanuel, many stories have been very spiritually centered. It's very
interesting.
Yeah. Meet at the library. It's a great event. Now, you know, you asked about, is anything happening? There's a big, 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 big deal happening. And it is Larry Thompson, professional storyteller Larry Thompson from San Antonio. He is an uproarious, incredible cowboy who will be here as my guest on May 31st, and he's going to be at Hickory Hollow on Saturday, June 3rd from 11 to 12:30. Won't cost anybody a dime. Just come and have lunch, then I'll be handing around the tip jar.
The added bonus is they have some of the best baked potatoes in the city of Houston. So, you know, if you want a story and a baked potato, that is your place.
That will definitely be the cheapest and best entertainment in town that week, and Larry is unbelievable. And I forget the date, but if you take a look at our record of shows on the Guild site, you'll see that Larry was here, I want to say something like September or October of 2015. But listen to him, and he's unbelievable.
It kind of stuns me that we're able to fill up NRG Stadium for a monster truck crash, and yet when you have a genius storyteller coming into town, you know, it's not easy to be a professional storyteller. Let me know. You have got to be the best of the best. So I highly recommend this Larry Thompson event at Hickory Hollow on May 31st.
And they're all real stories. There's nothing that he's going to tell you isn't true.
And those are my kind of stories, as you know.
I mean, he has a way with the amplified versions. That's all I can say.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to the baked potato, I got to admit.
You've made me very hungry.
Yeah, well,
near there.
I don't know if I can wait until the 31st. I may do a pre-run before the 31st. Friends, as KPFT's new interim development director, I want you to know that myself and the entire KPF team, made up of a few hardworking staff members and hundreds of dedicated volunteers, are committed to reducing the frequency and length of pledge drives. And I am working night and day to develop new ways to achieve that. One of those programs is the KPFT Thousandaires. We are we are engaged in a program which we are trying to recruit 1,000 people to donate $1,000 or more by May 15th, 2018. So that's just a year away. And that would give us $1 million to build a strong financial base under this station that desperately needs us and would allow us some breathing room so we don't need to be coming to you. Our inaugural event will be this Sunday. We're going to have a brunch with Democracy Now's Amy Goodman at a private home where we will celebrate the inauguration of the Thousandaires. Though if you want to come, you know, and aren't quite sure if you want to become a Thousandaire, we have tickets available for $250 and $500. You can send me a note, greg@kpft.org, or you can pledge online and we will get the information to you. This Friday, KPFT is going to have a one-day pledge drive because we don't want to take 2 or 3 weeks out of your programming. But this is going to be one of the most interesting pledge drives we've had because it's going to be based on the KPFT Pacifica Network flash drive with over 1,350 hours of coverage from the Pacifica vaults. So the day is going to be focused around that. We're going to have some speeches by playing by Malcolm X because it is his birthday, and we'd like to focus on him a little bit also. But I think it's going to be a fun day, a pledge drive you haven't seen. And Amy Goodman will also be speaking Saturday night, and the tickets are $20 for that event. And you can go to our website, kpft.org, for more information. So, Hank, you know, I'm sort of obsessed with listener-supported public radio the other day. I mean, and what is it that got you into public radio? I mean, I assume, like me, you were a listener first.
Well, I was a listener first. I was also a guest on a show that was similar to this. And I loved being on the show. And then a week later, Ernesto Aguilar, our former program director, gave me a call and said, "Listen, you know that show you were on, the host quit." I said, "Well, that's interesting.
Has he been seen, or did he just disappear, Hank?"
I think he just disappeared. Uh-huh. But he asked me, "Do you want to give it a shot?" I said, "Okay, but you want to tell me a little bit about what the show's about?" He says, "Well, it's an open journal, which means it's open." I said, "Okay, well, can I do something about storytelling? Because it happened that I was telling a story on that show about my grandfather." And he said, "Absolutely." So I was on that show, and for that first show, it was just me because it was just 2 days later. And I was on that show for an hour, making no sense, I'm sure.
Wow.
But I was telling stories about my grandfather and about my grandmother and about how they were Holocaust survivors and a number of things. But, you know, I remember about 20 minutes into the show, it was all about heart. It was about heart. That's what fueled me. And it occurred to me that this is the kind of venue that allows me to do this.
It is.
And then when you kind of merge that with the reason why this venue even exists, a lot of people don't know that Public Radio Pacifica emerged after World War II as the peace movement because it gave people an opportunity to speak their minds within reason. And it allowed them to create all sorts of emotional shifts on the radio, talking about good things, bad things, things that depressed them. And for many years, it was believed that no radio could survive without corporate sponsorship. But how wrong they were. Here we
are. How
wrong
they were.
Well. This is about human expression. And in a world where we talk about junk news, fake news, this is on the opposite side of the fakery continuum. This is the real deal.
And we're proud to be
sitting here right now, and Nicole, this is the real deal. It's all about people, their connection, and there isn't anything more important than human expression. It's everything.
And we're proud to be 100% Kardashian-free.
Yep.
But most of the people that work on this program, not on this program, most of the people that work on programs in this building, and we have around 200 program hosts, they're like me. They came on as a guest. And they're like, "Wow, community radio, this is absolutely amazing." And we just don't leave. I mean, you know, you come into this building and you just get sucked in and it becomes part of your DNA. But you can't do that at CBS, ABC, NBC, MTV. You know, you can't just walk in and say, "Okay, I want to work on a show. I want to run the board. I want to be a host." It doesn't work like that.
We haven't left this building for years.
Yeah, I know. I know. Thank God for delivery. Favor and Uber Eats has really helped us. What about you, Shelby? Has public radio been a part of your life, or is this a new phenomenon to you?
This is kind of a new phenomenon, but I have always been public radio. I listen to public radio more than I do radio, just because of the interest and all of the light that is shined on the really, you know, the really messed up things that people don't understand or don't really realize, you know. So,
if you're hearing from official spokespeople all the time and paid spokespeople, you're not going to get the real story like we get from the people that come into our studios.
No, because they're all scripted and they're all told what to say and they're a bunch of minions.
And they don't actually say anything often. That's what's so amazing to me. And you got to realize, friends, the local broadcast news is about 22 minutes of news, which also features a lot of cute animal videos. You know, a car chase that happened 2,000 miles away. You don't really get much local news from the news. And I think you are hard-pressed to find a better source of news coverage than the Progressive Network and KPFT in Houston. I'm a little biased. Now, Shelby, your next story is another subject that unfortunately many of us on the So What's Your Story team can relate to. It's about the obnoxious intrusion of ill health on one's life. Would you share your second story with us?
I will. So, in March of 2001, I had an aneurysm and was told that they were not sure if they were going to be able to save my life or not because they didn't know what had happened. Well, after the 12 days of being in the hospital, I went through chemotherapy and a surgery and just tons of chemotherapy. And during the whole ordeal, I know it sounds really off the wall, but I made a deal with God. And I just kind of said, you know, look, if you get me through this, I will do whatever it is that you lead me to. Got home, first cat, Cruella de Vil, a black and white cat that I raised off of a bottle. Never had any kitten stories like that before, although I kind of implemented what I know about dogs into cats. And she was a great cat. After that, I realized, you know, people just don't care. You know, this little cat was so little that I don't know. I've had dogs thrown over my fence. You know, and the thing that really gets me is there are so many people out there that want to do the right thing. They just don't know what to do. And they're scared and they're sad. And they just don't know where to turn to. And there's so much more than saying, you know, I'm going to get rid of this dog right now. And I don't know how to do it. What do I do about it? And then that's where I am usually stepping in.
But there's a big difference between rescuing a kitten and really keeping this commitment that you made in the hospital. When did you go from being nice, concerned animal guy to animal superhero?
After I was well enough, after the aneurysm, and I had to do a little speech therapy because I developed a stutter. So just one day, I woke up and I got on the computer way before Facebook. It was just this little crazy messaging back and forth, and I just couldn't get enough of it. I would find myself 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, and spend my whole day going to collect dogs from shelters and people who didn't want them, and, you know, bringing them home, paying for everything, keeping them with me until I found the perfect home. It's just my job. This is what God led me to do, and it doesn't matter what anybody else says.
Job or calling?
Calling, because I don't get paid whatsoever.
How do you keep it all going?
I have to. I've been asked a few times, why don't you just slow down?
That wasn't your deal, was it?
No, I've never wanted to slow down. I only want to go quicker and do more and raise more and people that say, gosh, you just need to slow down, they have no idea how much dependency I have depending on me from animals everywhere, international, from the East Coast to the West Coast, from Canada all the way down to Louisiana. These dogs and cats just need us.
So what needs to be done to make more shelters no-kill shelters?
I really think that a shelter should work with the rescue groups they have in the area, you know, whether it's pure breed or if it's all breed or giant breed. We all have to come together and help these dogs. And as long as we're out saving them, I promise that we will be out there with you and we will be making enough money for, you know, to save more animals. Because, you know, nothing's free, and that's just the way it is.
Well, let me tell you, if you're hearing a little rustling in the background, it's because our own rescue dog is getting a little restless. And it's amazing that somebody set this boy, Floyd the Wonder Dog, on fire from head to toe. And I don't know what he went through beforehand. I don't know exactly what he went through afterwards. But I will tell you, he is the most loving little boy. And a friend of mine, Michael Tapley, you know, much in your vein, helps rescue dogs and tries to find the perfect home for him. And I certainly think he did that in this case.
Oh, absolutely. That guy is so happy.
And hey, for those that don't know, Floyd and I got to introduce Joe Ely at Discovery Green last week. And, you know, I don't know if anyone heard the guy that was introducing him, but there was a line to meet Floyd, probably that rivaled Joe Ely's, I would have to say. Although Joe sings a little bit better than Floyd.
Well, at least Floyd tried.
At least Floyd tries. When you made that commitment to God, as you say, what did you think the odds were that you were going to get to stay around long enough to reach your goals?
The odds that I would make it through the devastating brain injury I had, 85% of people don't make it.
Wow.
Honestly, I...
What were you feeling? Were you feeling you were part of that 85%?
I thought so. And my doctor, I'd like to shout out to Dr. Heather Lynn, saved my life in all aspects.
Thank you, Dr. Lynn.
Yeah, she's a great friend of mine. Her husband, her kids, we became like family. I call her my angel because no one knew what was wrong with me at all. And all they could tell me was, we don't know. We don't know what this is.
It's not real comfort.
Anybody else knew that you had an aneurysm?
Well, the type of injury it was wasn't actually discovered until maybe 10 years ago. And for the exact name of it, it's an arterial ventricle malformation.
Look, if you can say that, you've got to be cured.
I am totally cured. Thank you. I'm totally cured. And that's why no matter what happens, I will always be out there standing up for the animals.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't mean to hog this conversation, but I just have one question. What was it that the other doctors were missing?
I don't actually remember. All I remember is there were a multitude of neurosurgeons, mm-hmm. and no one had done any type of advanced training to go into this type of aneurysm, which turned out that it wasn't really an aneurysm. It's just a whole bunch of nerves and blood vessels inside your head that are all tangled up. They didn't know exactly what it was, mm-hmm. and through studies as mine, they are able to figure it out now. So it's
Thank goodness you were in Houston, Texas.
To tell you the truth, I wasn't at home. I was visiting my mom, and we were playing tennis, and I got a terrible headache, and I couldn't figure out, why am I getting a headache? So I went to her doctor, which was my doctor growing up, and he said, honestly, he said, Shelby, you need to go home.
Where were you?
I was in Sulphur, Louisiana,
okay.
About 170 miles from here. I don't know how I made it home. I guess my little Miata I'd had so long had just knew which way to go home. I got home, and I still didn't feel right. And the next morning, I woke up, and I couldn't see. And I felt like my head was going to burst in half, and I was rushed first to Memorial Hermann, and then because Bruce is really involved with Baylor, I went to St. Luke's. So that, and then Dr. Lynn just happened to be a Baylor graduate who had been in a very, very large, good neurologic center or
without getting into a long story, yeah, that's a better bet.
Yeah, she saved my life. She told me, she leaned over me and said, I know what this is, and we're going to get you through it.
Beautiful.
Probably the most comforting words you've ever heard before, I would imagine.
Yeah. That's why we become such great friends.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I just had to ask that question. Thanks, Rick.
Well, and friends, thanks, you know, for I think asking. This is a lesson. You know, if you think something's wrong, you know, some things can't wait until morning. You may not be here in the morning. So don't be a hero. Get it checked out.
I was very lucky. I knew something was wrong, and I acted on it as best I could. And hi, here I am.
It's a little
on the
scary
radio.
Thinking of you on that drive home, but that's a story for another day. Friends, this is Greg Audell, and you are listening to So What's Your Story on KPFT 90.1 Houston with my guest, Shelby Kibito. And it is time for Tips for the Teller. A tip that will help you develop your storytelling skills and a whole lot more. Look, some of us tell stories on stage, some of us tell it on radio, some on TV, but for the vast majority of people, you're going to be telling stories in the workplace. And for some reason, that just paralyzes people, but there's no reason for it to. My tip is to plan your story starting with the takeaway message. Start with the takeaway message. Think about what's important to the audience and what you want to convey to the audience. The ending is the most important part of the story. This is the message we want to deliver and the one that will linger with the audience. I mean, think about it. Do you ever want to get in a car without knowing specifically where you are going? You should be just as aware of your destination when you are telling a story. As Dr. Hank reminds us, stories have clear beginnings, middles, and ends. And to me, the most important tip is to have fun. If you have fun, generally so will your audience. Shelby, you are clearly a confident guy. Were you ever nervous about public speaking?
Never.
Ha!
Never. I've been speaking out against many things and standing up for many things.
That's
a
great
time.
Quality. I rarely hear that. Most people, including myself, you know, start out with the fear of public speaking and had to acclimate themselves.
If you weren't nervous, it means you wouldn't care, and that means a bad thing. You've got to be able to care. If you weren't nervous, you wouldn't care.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and before the show, you know, we're always
don't
working
argue
pretty...
with me. I teach this stuff.
All right.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
I know better than to argue with you anyway.
You don't
anyway.
Want to be paralyzed.
Yeah.
Right? You're absolutely right. You got to have fun. Absolutely.
You've got to have fun. And I've had a great time. You guys are fun.
Thank you. That's the goal.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
The goal.
Even off the medications were fun.
Yeah.
Well, but remember, there's a restraining order that we're not allowed to be on air without the medication anymore.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Now, Hank, you also brought along a story from an earlier guest. Would you tell us about it?
Yeah, and I appreciate an opportunity to play this story. Nicole's going to do this in just a moment. This is a former student of mine. Her name is Evelyn Valdez, and she was in my storytelling class, and we talked about ideas for this project, and she said, you know, I really wish I was the kind of person who had a story. And I said, really? So we talked a little bit, and then somebody else in class mentioned the word dog, and it was sort of like Niagara Falls, slowly I turned. Her expression changed. I said, have you got a story about a dog? And she said, I do. I really do. I'm set. I'm ready to go. And this is what she produced. And she was also on the show who told the story. It was called Pinky. Nicole?
So growing up, my dad always told us he'd probably never get us a dog, that they're stinky, that they're this or that, and we'd always beg and beg him to get one. And then I remember I was in second grade, and I came home, and I opened the door, and I see this white fluff ball just running towards me. I remember just dropping to the ground and just hugging her, because I was so excited because my dad finally caved in, and Pinky came into our lives. I would always love coming home to her. Every day I'd come home from school, it was my favorite part to do, because she would always run to the door front, run and greet us, or jump up and down, whine, and you'd have to pet her. And then eventually over the years, it went from her running to the door to her slowly walking to the door. And then eventually you had to go to her bed and you had to greet her whenever you would come in. And you'd always either get a tail wag or she would growl at you, depending on what mood she was in. But either way, she'd always be there for me whenever I'd come home. But one day when I came home, I couldn't find her. Pinky, I started looking everywhere. I looked under my bed, looked all over the rooms, and I couldn't find her. Then I decided to look in the backyard, and I found her on her little day bed, and she was just kind of laying there. Pinky scared me, so I went up to her, I bent down, I started petting her. But she didn't look at me, she didn't wag her tail, she just kind of stared off into space. So I thought, okay, maybe she's just taking that, maybe she's just tired, because she was getting a little older. So I just bent down, I kissed her little head, and I went back upstairs to do homework. A couple hours later, I come back downstairs to check up on her, and she was still laying in her little day bed. And then it kind of started to worry me because it had been a couple hours and she hadn't moved. So I went to go get her a little piece of chicken because she loved chicken. And I bring it to her. She didn't even sniff it. She didn't look at it. She just still laid there. That's when I knew something was wrong. So I started looking up vet offices, and it was kind of late into the evening, and nobody would take me in, or everybody was closed. And then finally, one animal hospital told me that I can take her in, that they're willing to look at her. So I get into the car, my mom's driving, and I'm holding my baby just in my arms, just really worried. We're driving down the road, then halfway down the road, my mom just kind of stops the car. I tell her, "Mom, what are you doing?" And I look at her, and she just starts crying. And she tells me, "You know what's going to happen if we get there." And I tell her, "Yeah, but, you know, Pinky," and then we both decided, okay. So we turned the car around, and we decided we'll let her wait out through the night. That night, I'll never be able to forget it, because the whole night, she was not really screaming, but more of like a screech. It's a noise that I've never heard any animal make before, and you could just hear the pain through her little screeches. And that's when I started getting really worried, and I couldn't sleep, and I started looking up vet offices, and I found one that opened at 8 a.m. in the morning, and I decided I'm going to take her first thing. So when morning came, I took her in the car, and we drove to the vet office, and I get there, and I get out of the car, go over to the passenger seat, and I try to pick her up, and I couldn't. It was like she was just lifeless. I couldn't hold her in my arms. She felt like a little rag just slipping through my fingers. So I had to hold her in her bed, and I walked in, and I tell them, "Somebody please help me, someone please help my baby." And the nurses tell me, "Ma'am, please just take a seat, calm down, there's someone in front of you." And I tell them, no, someone has to help me, something's wrong with her. And they just kept telling me, "Ma'am, take a seat," and it was just back and forth arguing, and finally took a seat. I was just really impatient, I was looking down at my baby, and that's when Pinky started to scream in the vet's office. Then the nurses come over, and they tell me, okay, we'll take her. I look down at my baby, and she kind of looks up at me, and that's the first time that I really saw a sort of peace in her eyes. It was like she was telling me it was going to be okay. So I hand her over to the nurses. They take her back there. Not even a minute or two later, the vet comes back out and asks me to go back into his office with him. So I go back into his office. I sit down, and he tells me, "I'm so sorry for your loss." I tell him, "You're sorry? You're sorry? I brought her to you for you to fix, and you're sorry?" And I was really angry, and really it wasn't his fault, but I needed someone to blame, because just like that, my baby was gone.
Hank, how could you do that to me?
I know, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Wow, it was a beautifully yeah. told story. I made it through 44 minutes with an animal rescue superhero with a dry eye.
I know, I warned you. Listen, and I have to tell you, it was tough for me to hear this, because this was shortly after Sadie, you know, my beagle died, and that's really what got her thinking about it. And, you know, it's terrible, but these stories about loss are some of the greatest stories that we can convey about the gifts that these yes. wonderful living creatures provided to us.
Well, I wasn't sure if I was going to mention it, but I can't not mention it. It was a year and a week ago today that I lost my best boy, Kirby.
Yep.
And, you know, he was a champion for 17 years. He was also a rescue dog that was mistreated, and I hope we made up for it with about 16 years of fun.
You absolutely did.
Tremendous love.
And I am convinced that Kirby is with me, because the one thing I knew was I might never be able to have a dog again. And friends kept trying to push dogs on me, and I had no interest. And a
Kirby
buddy of mine
is the one who is igniting Floyd.
Yeah.
You are a hard time tonight.
Yeah, the second I saw Floyd, my buddy Michael Tapley was like, well, he used the famous line, just watch him over Christmas. And the second I saw Floyd, I heard Kirby say in my ear, that's him.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, that's my dog.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, thinking back, it's hard to believe all the things that can transpire in a year. And we've already touched on the fact that this life is short, my friends, and we need to hold the kind people close. And in that room with Kirby and I the day he passed away, and I must say, I always dreaded the decision of whether or not to have him put to sleep. And the morning it was obvious that we had to go to the vet, I just sat and held him. And I was like, God, you're going to have to give me the strength to go and tell me when to go. So I sat there for about an hour and 20 minutes just holding him. Yeah. We made it to the vet. I handed the Kirby over to the technician, and he passed away. Mm-hmm. And that was his final act of, well, I thought it was his final act of love. I am convinced that he arranged for Floyd, and he's with us.
I don't know if I think, I'm just not going to tell the whole story, but a small part of it. I think I told you about, you know, the beagle and when she was put down. And then when I got home less than a half hour later, I looked to my left at the, by the mailboxes. There was no reason to look to my left, but I did. It was only 9 o'clock in the morning. And I saw a young man about 35 years old wearing sunglasses who looked directly at me at the time, walking two beagle puppies.
Wow.
Yeah. And after that, I felt great for about a minute or two. I felt this overwhelming sense of peace. And then I went looking for him. No one has ever seen him.
Wow.
No one in the leasing office. Nobody. True.
Wow.
Yeah. That's probably the most spiritual moment, most overtly spiritual moment. Dogs do that to us.
Well,
I think they do it.
I think the most foolish people are the ones that think we've figured everything out. There's still a mystery, and there is still wonder in this life.
Yep.
And, you know, as I reflect back on a year and a week ago, in that room was Kirby, myself, and Dr. Valerie McDaniel, who I knew as a kind and loving veterinarian. And she is now gone, too. And a lot can transpire in a year. And so I would just say, hold your people and your animals close, because everything in this life and every relationship is temporary, my friends.
That's so
true. We better take good care of each other. It makes me think of a Mark Twain quote, and he says, heaven goes by favor. If it went by merit, you would stay out. And your dog would go in.
Love it. Absolutely.
Love it.
But I got to say, I am confident in my dogs that they will drag me in against any objections.
I am counting
on that.
And I just want to reinforce that with John Steinbeck. And, you know, he said, look, I don't know if dogs go to heaven, but when I die, I want to go where they went.
Amen.
Yeah. Me too.
Amen.
You want to know about Warren's guest next week?
I would love to know about Warren's guest next week.
This is going to be a little intriguing. Warren's guest next week is Mark Pincus, and Mark is the winner of January's Moth Story Slam, and he is going to include the ingredients of two Russian strangers, and also some Baptists and Mormons that helped him explore his genealogical roots. And what makes it particularly interesting is that Mark is Jewish, and oy, what a story.
Oy!
Ay, 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 what a story.
You know, and friends, as we talk to you about these various amateur competitions, amateur storytellers around town, seeing someone like Mark is the pure golden moment, because Hank and I were both there, and we kind of sit like vultures in the audience, and when we see a storyteller that really speaks to us, we pounce on them, and we're like, we want you to be on our show.
Yeah.
I mean, and by the time I got to Mark, he's like, yeah, two other people from your show already gave me your card.
Yeah, he's great. He's funny. and he's very poignant.
And I think he and Warren are friends, aren't they?
Well, actually, he and Mary know each other very well. Yeah.
Well, friends, you're going to really enjoy it. It's going to be a fun show next week.
Anderson. He teaches speech at MD Anderson.
And I will say about Mark's story, they are some of the most incredible, almost too hard to believe true stories.
They
are. And that's all I'm going to give you. But you're going to have a really great time with them.
And you know what? People are going to have a great time every week, because why would you not?
Exactly. Exactly. That's what we're here for.
This is the place to be, my friends.
We want to be your break from reality for this hour every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was talking...
There's nothing real about us. So, you know, taking a break with us means everything, I think.
And, okay, you know, I'm sorry if you're hearing Floyd run all around the studio. He's very excited for some reason. But, you know, I was touching a minute ago on the fact that the greatest resource...
We're talking about him. That's what's exciting about him.
He knows. Yeah. The greatest resource in this short life is friendship. And if you are blessed to have real friends, you best treasure them. One of the shiniest pieces of treasure in my life has been pure gold. Wendy Rufa Gold, to be specific. She has been a friend since our freshman year at HSPVA and now somehow has kids of her own in college. Because, you know, I'm sure I'm 25, so I don't know how in the hell that happened. But she and her husband, Danny, are strong supporters of this program, of KPFT, and are the kind of friends you want in your corner. So I want to say happy birthday, Wendy, and I still owe you coffee from the last pledge drive. And I look forward to sharing it with you. Now, Shelby, is there anyone you'd like to send a shout-out to?
Sure. I'd like to send out a shout-out to my vet, Dr. Hallie Moore. She's at Oak Forest Vet Clinic. She saved my family. I really appreciate them. And I also appreciate all the staff at Citizens for Animal Protection. You guys have been my second family, and I really, really, really love and care about each and every one of you. And I appreciate everything you do. Thank you.
Okay, quiz question. Was Lassie, you remember Lassie, right?
Uh-huh.
Is it a boy or a girl?
Boy.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Haven't there been like 27 Lassies? Yeah,
there were 32. There were 32 Lassies.
Yeah. Oh, I was close. I was so close.
His master's name was?
It's been so long ago.
Timmy.
Was it Timmy?
Timmy in the well. Right. Timmy's in the well.
I knew Timmy in the well, but I
yeah.
Was
who's
that?
Who's Roddy McDowell?
You never wasn't saw the he Vampa?
Movie. I was going to say he was the little boy in the movie, wasn't he?
I can't.
And isn't he
it.
The same guy that was in Planet of the Apes?
How old is he?
I'm only 46.
I don't like people that are under 60. I tolerate you. I tolerate you. And
you don't particularly tolerate me, but it's nice to say.
Do you remember the theme song to Lassie?
No, can you sing it for us?
Not really.
Come on.
Nicole might find it on YouTube. This is embarrassing.
Nicole's laughing at us.
But what about Rin Tin Tin?
Now that was before my time. I did not know Rin Tin Tin.
It was before your time.
I know he was
I knew
a
Benji.
Shepherd.
And
I knew
Old
Benji.
Yeller.
Old Yeller.
Oh, you don't make me sad again.
Where the Red Fern Grows. Yeah, have you read that?
You read what?
The Red Fern. Where the Red Fern Grows.
Where the Red Fern Grows.
Oh,
I read that.
Broke my
For
heart.
For the next 6 minutes, yes. I'd like us only to focus on happy animal stories.
Oh.
On happy animal stories.
On happy ones, yes.
Nicole. What's the happiest animal story you know?
Well, I
Nicole
can give
doesn't
you...
know anything. She hasn't read a book in a decade.
You know what?
Go ahead.
I read so many books. You know what? I'm the worst animal person, I must say.
You can't say that. I just saw before this broadcast a picture of your beautiful dog standing on your dining room table.
Exactly. But okay,
here's a happy story.
The
Babe,
first
wasn't that a happy story?
No, the first Didn't dog that I had, her name was Midnight. I had her for a week and a day. Then she jumped the fence and she ran away. And I know that rhymes.
That's a terrible story.
But it's true.
Oh,
it's
man.
True.
What about Arnold?
What did you do to this poor dog in 8 days?
Don't you remember Arnold the Pig?
Yes.
Arnold Ziffel.
I do know the theme song.
From
Green Acres. Right.
Yes.
Right. 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 Very much. New York is where I'd rather be.
And was that Ava or Zsa Zsa Gabor?
It was Ava.
It was Ava. That
you're
is
not
right.
You're not going to get me when it comes to sitcoms of the 60s and 70s.
See, one thing you can turn to on So What's Your Story, we like to think of this as the intellectual program.
That's right.
You
that's
know,
right.
for those
that's
that
right.
read great books.
That's
and
right.
that's what you're
that's
seeing
right.
an example
right.
of
Absolutely.
Right here.
Absolutely. You really did. Yeah. But, okay, I just thought I'd dip that in there because you guys are talking animals.
You know, I think every single person that works on this show is an animal person.
I think so.
How old is Simon?
Simon is going to be 3 in July. He and my mother share a birthday.
Does he even weigh 3 pounds?
Oh, yeah. He weighs 5 and a half.
Wow.
Yeah.
Five and a half,
Simon,
3.
Yeah,
it's
Simon rocks.
Close.
Simon rocks.
Okay,
I want to shout out to my dog, Emmy May. It is actually her first birthday today. So
happy birthday to my bad little baby.
Nicole, shut my headphones off on purpose. She doesn't want me to hear a thing.
I do control the board.
Yeah, I know. That's why nice to you. I mean, of course, because I like you, yes, but also because you control the board.
I control the board.
You know, I've got a challenge for all of our, not only So What's Your Story family here, but I'd like for our listeners, why don't you post on our Facebook page not only pictures of your pets, but I want to hear your special pet stories.
Great idea.
You know, I want to hear the good ones. I want to hear the happy ones. I want to hear, yes, the sad ones, but the ones that speak to you. And who knows, you might end up sitting right here. We have a wide variety of guests, but we are a little bit partial to guests who have a special affinity for animals.
Right.
So how about...
We'd like to have animals here, and frankly, many of them have a much more extensive vocabulary than some of our guests.
Amen.
Right? So I think that would be probably a wise thing. I shouldn't have said that.
But how about we do that, friends? Let's, starting tonight, let's see some pictures, let's hear some stories. And dig deep. You can post video on our Facebook page. You can write the story out however you'd like to do it. And, you know, some people write stories out and some just tell them from the heart. And there is no right or wrong answer. It is right for you. It is what is right for you. Thank you, Shelley Kibido, for sharing your stories, your insight, and your life experience with us tonight. It's been a pleasure having you with us.
Well, thank you guys very much for having me. I hope the listeners enjoyed my stories about saving animals, and maybe tomorrow you can get out there and save one.
Well, I think that is a fantastic goal for everyone. If everyone listening to this broadcast did one thing to help an animal, imagine the river of goodness that would be flowing.
Then he can try that same gesture on a person.
That's what I was about to suggest, exactly. Well, Brian and Jason are next to tell the world. Another class act on KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day. And while you're driving home, you need a break from the day, turning in from the night, turning off work, or just chilling. Join us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. for So What's Your Story? Treasure what you hear. Keep loving a great story, and we will keep bringing them to you. Above all, be actively good to each other. Mary, Warren, Hank, Nicole, and Floyd the Wonder Dog and I will forever be reminding you that it is never too late to live happily ever after, my friends. Peace.
Houston Network TV 43.5 presents Wings for Vets Summerfest, featuring musical entertainment from Step Rideau and the Zydeco Outlaws. This veterans retreat takes place at 8730 East Mount Houston Road, Houston, Texas 77050 on June 10th from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. Come enjoy food, fun, drinks, rides, moonwalks, and much more. For more information, visit UrbanHoustonNetwork.com or call 832-582-7118. KPFT Houston. Step on, man.
I'm Greg Audell, KPFT's Interim Development Director. The more I learn about community radio and the Pacifica Network, I realize I must do all I can to help preserve and strengthen these historic examples of free speech and corporate-free journalism. We're going to do our very best to reduce the frequency of our pledge drives with new initiatives. For example, we've created the KPFT Thousandaires. We can't all write a check for $1,000. but each of us can raise $1,000 or much more. This can even be charged to a credit card at $84 a month. Our goal is to have 1,000 people contribute $1,000 or more by May 15, 2018. We're inaugurating the Thousandaires with a special Sunday brunch with Amy Goodman on Sunday, May 21st. Please join us by donating at kpft.org or emailing Greg at kpft.org.